Well, once again, I'd like to welcome you here to the house of the Lord this evening. And as I look out, I see that the Lord won out tonight in the hearts of many. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that He answered our prayers. And I know it was a fear of mine. I don't know about my brothers, but it was a fear of mine that it would be the same few that would be here on a Sunday night. But I guess we showed the world that they can't win. I ask that you might pay particular attention to my brother this evening as he opens the books and he reads from the scriptures and he preaches the word of God as God has laid it on his heart. Apostle Frank Fan.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Nice to see each one of you here tonight. I almost called my brother tonight and said, I'm watching the Super Bowl. I didn't think that would go over too big. You know, I guess this morning, if you were here, you heard my wife stand and give her testimony. And she shattered my image of that kind, loving man that I know that you all have come to know. And I could spend the rest of this evening of telling you stories about that time in our lives where I definitely was not that kind, loving man. But I do thank my Heavenly Father that He was interested enough in me to change me just a little bit. Back a little bit before the time that I climbed upon the car and beat the head in, Carol had been sick. She'd been in the hospital. Had a little boy, almost 3 years old. I went to the hospital, got her, took her home. Laid her on the couch and says, "Dear, are you comfortable?" And I went and played golf. Where were my priorities? And I'm very happy tonight to look out and see this group and see that this group has their priorities right. You have made a decision to follow the Most High God. You have made a decision to put self-denial within your life. And you have made a decision to take up the cross and follow Christ. I would like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew. And I'm going to use this kind of as a text tonight. Matthew 16, 24. And it reads, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And if we read on before this, we'll find that, Jesus was telling his apostles about the suffering that he was about to endure. About how he would have to suffer on the cross and that he would be crucified and he would go down into death. And you know, the apostles could not endure the thought of Jesus suffering. They thought of Jesus as the Lion of Judah. Someone who would overcome the Romans and throw them out of Jerusalem. Throw them out of Judah. And once again, rise the nation of Israel to its former glory. Using all those tools that they had seen Jesus use as they walked with him on this earth. They had seen the might. They had seen the power. They had seen the strength. And they had seen the splendor. And he had shown them these things as he walked with them. And they had been taught personally by Jesus. And Jesus had told them, without me you can do nothing. And so they naturally thought that with Jesus, Israel would rise again. And maybe they even thought that, since we've walked with him and since we've studied under and since we have been taught by him, when he returns with that power of Israel, maybe we'll have a high place too. Conjecture on my part. But we don't know what they were thinking, but we do know that they did not believe that he would suffer that death on the cross. For they said, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. There was no belief there. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And we look at this verse and we see it's not about losing your life or about saving your life. It's about doing it for Christ's sake. So whether we die or whether we live, let us do it for Jesus Christ. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you be willing to give tonight? If I had the power to give that, and I come to you and said, would you give your home? Would you give your new truck? Would you give your job? Would you give up your family? What is it that you would give to attain your soul? Self-denial is what we need to do. That's what we need to have. We need to be able to deny the things of this world so that we can gain our souls. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. And we know that it's written many, many places that we are saved by grace. And that's the honest truth. We're saved by grace, but we are rewarded through our works. So what kind of reward will you and I have? Let's imagine that today, tonight, is our last evening on earth. And tomorrow, we will stand before the judgment seat. And God will be giving out His rewards. What will we have? What reward will we have? Will we smile? Say, thank you for that reward? Or will we say, why didn't I receive a little more? What are our works? Are our works those to be proud of? Can people look at us and tell by our works what type of individual that we are? Can they tell by our works whom we serve? I wonder. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. You know, some interesting things about this reading that I have read through 24 through 28. It says, if any man, Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, white or black, any man. Matters not. We all have that opportunity before God. If we have self-denial, if we take up our cross. And then he says, if any man will, that shows that we have a choice. We don't have to come. We're not forced. I don't force you. Your parents don't force you. Your husband don't force you. Your friends don't force you. Your wives don't force you. Each one of us have that responsibility to decide for ourselves if we come or not. And I think this is one of the first places that you and I need to put self-denial into our lives. We have to deny the thought that we don't need Him. We have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to think that we can handle all our problems, all of our trials, all of our tribulations, everything that the world throws against us, that we can handle it because of who we are. We're proud people. Unfortunately, we're a proud people. And we must have self-denial and realize that we do need Him. Realize that we can't go on by ourselves. We can't get there through our own intelligence. We can't get there through the money in our pockets. We can't get there through the strength of our arms. We have to rely on Jesus Christ. We have to rely on His mercy. We have to rely on His teachings so that we make the right decision. And we have the will within us to come unto Him. In John 6th chapter, Forty-fourth and 45th verses. John 6, 44 and 45. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, I believe that wholeheartedly. That the only way that we come to Him is through the enticing spirit of our Heavenly Father. Brother Jay and I went to the Philippines 2001. And we were successful. But we weren't successful because of the mighty words that we said. We weren't successful because of the great things that we presented to them. We were successful because our Almighty God had prepared the way, and that our Almighty God had beckoned unto those people and told them to come unto me. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. They shall all be taught of God. We can't come to God unless we're taught. And that's where you and I come in. And I'm not just meaning that you and I, the ministry. I'm meaning you and I, everyone that sits here tonight, has that opportunity to teach those that we come in contact with, those that you come in contact with, to make them come to Christ. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Yes, all can come unto Christ if we will. If we find the truth. And it is written, the truth shall make you free. But you know, self-denial again. We can find and understand that truth if we put out of our minds and our lives our own wills. And if we concentrate on the will of God. And if we put out of our lives our own desires. Each one of us here has desires. Each one of us here has wants and needs. And they're not all the same. But we need to put those things that are human from us and concentrate on the will and the desire and the want of Jesus Christ. One of the reasons for self-denial is to realize that through Christ we can have eternal life, and we can't obtain it ourselves. It must come through Jesus Christ. And how is that to come to us? How are we to come? Well, God says, if any man will come unto me, well, how do we do that? Is there a secret steps that we're to take? It's very simple. You've all heard it many, many times. How each one of us can come to Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing, of course, is to deny yourself and take up the cross. One of the things that I hear a lot in the Philippines, and to some extent here too, you know, it says, doesn't matter what a man believes as long as he's honest in it. It doesn't matter. And another thing I see here especially, that people look for a church that suits their needs. That has a great fellowship department. That may have a bowling team or a nice gymnasium for the children. Or a church that has many, many, many classrooms. And people choose those churches for that reason. Where is the self-denial? They're doing it for them. They're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for Jesus Christ. There is no self-denial. And in our search for Christ, we must have self-denial. And we must have cross-bearing. And what is cross-bearing? Yeah, I've said that a number of times, and we need to look at what it is. And I believe that simply it's taking upon ourselves Jesus Christ. It's living a Christ-like life. It's putting Him first. It's looking for the good in all things. And it's having faith in Jesus Christ. And that's number one. That's our first step to come, is it not? Having faith. Acts 16:32 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And in John 3:16, very similar verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In the book of 2 Nephi, (clears throat) says that in verse 96, 2 Nephi chapter 11, he doth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world. And he doesn't do anything. Christ doesn't do anything except it be for the benefit of you and I. And we need to have faith in our lives that he will do that. In Mosiah it says, believe in God. Very, very simple. Very simple, powerful statement. Believe in God. Believe that he is. Do we do that? Are we able to believe in God in such a manner that we will come unto him when he calls? And he has called you. And he is reaching out his hand to you. And he is offering you eternal life. And he wants so little in return. So little. And yet, my heart is filled with pride tonight when I see the self-denial of you who sit in here instead of in front of the TV watching the Super Bowl. And I know there are football fans here that would love to be sitting watching it. But you have shown self-denial. You have put our Heavenly Father first. And you have put yourself second. You are well on your way to coming to Christ. And these and other verses that I could go into, but that really isn't necessary, show the necessity of a faith in Christ. But man wants to believe in himself. You know, we're unwilling to put our lives in the hands of others, let alone put our hands in the put our lives in the hands of a God that we don't see. A person very dear to me, when we flew on a plane one time, said, I wish I was flying this. I got to trust the pilot. Or how many of us, when we get into the car, have to be the one that drives? We just can't seem to put our lives in the hands of others. And yet, Christ is saying, come unto me. We need to put our lives in his hands. So, we have to deny ourselves before we can turn ourselves over fully to Christ. Then he commands us to repent, doesn't he? To be sorry for those sins that each one of us commit every day. He tells us, turn away from evil habits. Turn away from evil people. Turn away from covetousness, from lying, from all those things that would come between us and God. We're to turn away from those things. We're to deny those things. And we are to repent when we fall. And each one of us fall. I have done so since, but I don't remember repenting when I beat the hood of the car. But many times since, I have repented of that act, believe me. But I want you to remember something. It's hard to repent. Hard to say, I'm sorry. It's hard to go to someone and say, I've hurt you, I know. But I repent of that. It's hard for us to go before our Heavenly Father and say, I have sinned against you. I have lied. I bragged. I have failed to do that which you have told me to do. It's hard. But without God's help, we can't repent. But we must remember that He is there holding out His hand to you and I. Ready, willing, anxious even to forgive us of our sins. And we remember the help promised to us in the Scriptures. And then we're told that we must confess Him. Of all these things that we have to do to come to God, I find that the hardest for me. To confess Him publicly. Oh, it's very easy for me to stand before you, a congregation of the saints, a congregation of the Church of Christ, and confess to you Jesus Christ. But when I'm out on my daily activities and I come in contact with those that I contact from day to day, am I fast to confess Jesus Christ to them? No. To my shame, no. Do you confess Christ in your daily lives? But let me tell you something. It is more than just the words confessing Christ to the world. I believe that you confess more of Christ to the world through your lives, through your actions, and through your deeds, much more so than the words that would come out of your mouth confessing Christ. But we're commanded to do so. So I would encourage you to confess Him not only with your mouth, but confess Him with your actions and your deeds. Then we need to be baptized, do we not? And I look here, and most of us have been baptized. Baptized through immersion, taken down into the water and washing away our sins. We must be baptized. Brothers and sisters, the Scriptures say there's no other way except through baptism. And I can hear it now. There's going to be somebody come up and and challenge me on that. And you're going to say, well, there's millions of people that haven't been baptized. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you under the sound of my voice. I'm talking to you and telling you that you must be baptized. And we must endure. We must endure to the end. Keeping on with our self-denial. Making those decisions daily in favor of our Heavenly Father. Putting ourselves second. We must contend earnestly for the faith. And we must tell those that we come into contact the wonderful things that we have in this gospel of Jesus Christ. The wonderful things that we have. And we do have wonderful things. We have the most precious thing in the world. And I fear that sometimes we don't appreciate that wonderful thing that we have. Brother Andy, do they appreciate the gospel in the Philippines? Very much so. Maybe even more so than here? Maybe so. And it is a shame. It is a shame on you and I that we don't grasp the importance of that which we have within our hands. We must take up the cross and follow our Heavenly Father. We must strive to enlarge our faith, testing our faith daily. You know, our faith are just like the muscles in our body. The more we use faith, the more we exercise faith, the stronger it becomes. We need to enlarge our faith. We must continue faithfully in the teachings of Jesus Christ. We must be in services and listen to the preachers that tell us how we can improve our lives. And how we can truly come to our Heavenly Father. And we should give ourselves wholly to the work of the Lord. Not half-heartedly, but wholly. Not holding back anything, but with all of our might, mind, and strength. To see that the things of the Lord are brought to pass. And lastly, we should labor with all our mights to bring others to Christ. You and I belong to a missionary church. And that missionary church is not only to the Philippines or to Africa or to Mexico. That missionary church is to all peoples, kindreds, and tongues, including your neighbor, including your friends, including your work associates. Labor. All our mights to bring others to Christ. In the Book of Mormon, 10th chapter of Moroni, verse I'm going to start with verse 7. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God. For he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. The same today and tomorrow and forever. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God. For they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered. But it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God and the men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and again to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholding of angels and ministering spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come to every man severally according as he will. Strive to bring of this mighty message of the world. It is your duty. Put self-denial. Put yourself second. Put our Heavenly Father first. And take up the cross. And strive mightily to come unto Christ. Poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled Beyond Our Asking. More than years can imagine or minds comprehend, God's bountiful gifts are ours without end. We ask for a cupful when the vast sea is ours. We pick a small rosebud from the garden of flowers. We reach for a sunbeam, but the sun still abides. We draw one short breath, but there's air on all sides. Whatever we ask for falls short of God's giving, for his greatness exceeds every facet of living. And always God's ready and eager and willing to pour out his mercy, completely fulfilling all our needs for peace, joy and rest, for God gives his children whatever is best. Just give him a chance to open his treasures, and he'll fill your life with unfathomable pleasures. Thank you very much.